Hi, my name is Scott, and I have read all of the Harry Potter books multiple times. I've seen all of the movies, and like most of my peers, I continue to be a Harry Potter enthusiast to this day.
And I'm Becky, and I have never read a Harry Potter book or seen any of the films, which makes me the ultimate muggle.
Join us as we make our way through each book, section by section, where Becky will make predictions about what she thinks will happen next.
And Scott will try to convince me why it's a good series, worth reading, and maybe even worth loving.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to A Muggle's Guide to Hogwarts, where we are... What do you... Becky was making a weird face like she was about to announce something.
I was going to say, bonus episode, but then you kept talking.
All right. We'll do that again. Hi, everyone. Welcome to A Muggle's Guide to Hogwarts.
Bonus episode.
Bonus episode, where we... are exploring the Harry Potter series with the ultimate muggle, someone who has never read the books or seen the movies and never really wanted to until we asked her to do it. So this is the bonus episode. We just finished season one. We talked through the entire first book and Becky made her predictions. And this episode is probably going to be a shorter one. We are just going to talk about the movie.
Yeah, because I watched it.
Yeah, we watched the first movie together.
Yeah, we watched it last night.
And we're just going to talk about our thoughts, our reactions. And then at the end of this episode, we're going to read some memories from fans that sent them in to our social media.
So I had never seen the movie before, as everyone knows. But it was also kind of cool because we inadvertently watched like a special director's cut or extended version. So there were a good handful of scenes that you had never seen either.
Yeah. So I've watched this movie a couple of times. Like, I can probably count on two hands the amount of times that I've seen Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone.
But you knew exactly when it was a scene that you'd never seen.
Yeah. I don't know. It sticks with you.
Yeah.
And when new scenes are there, they stick out like a sore thumb, right?
Well, even one time you were like, the music's different. And then you're like, oh, wait, no, it's not. But you were like really in tune with like what... you knew. And I would be like that with like childhood movies I'd watch too. You know, ones that you really knew what led into what and all
this,
of that.
This movie is like a genuine like childhood movie for me. Mm-hmm. And I mean, out of all the movies, this one is the most kind of just childlike. It's they're so young.
They are such little tiny babes.
Yeah.
Especially, I mean, we haven't talked about this at all since the first episode, but especially having worked with Daniel Radcliffe and only knowing him as like a, you know, 30-something year old man, that then to see him as this little boy where he looks like, you know, very much like the same person, but just different. It's just like a weird going backwards kind of thing, I imagine. But yeah, he was just so small and so cute.
They're all so small and so cute and not great kid actors.
Yeah.
But that's what makes it so special. And like, you know, it's cool to kind of grow up with those characters too throughout the movies. But anyway, before we get too far. Yeah. So I have never seen like the director's cut or the extended cut before. And we watched it on, what was it, Paramount? Peacock?
Peacock?
Was it Peacock? We watched it on Peacock Plus. What is the service?
I have no idea. We just picked whatever one
I think it's
we
on,
thought it was on.
I think it's called Peacock something. We watched it there, and it just has the entire extended cut. And then it also, like, fades out for, like, commercials, which I thought was it.
That
doesn't happen in the actual movie.
Oh, okay. I just thought it was, like, a weird, outdated style, like how they would cut to black.
No.
I was like, that's weird. We don't really, like, do that anymore. We're, like, a little better about transitioning
and it wasn't,
elegantly.
Like, it wasn't a cut to black. It was, like, a fade out to black.
Yeah, I just thought that was weird. What year did that come out?
I think those are for like commercial placements, but...
But why would they...
I don't know.
Okay.
That doesn't happen in the actual movie.
Okay. That is good to know because I was like, it was just always really weird, but I was just like, well, you know, this is, what was it, 20 years ago at this point?
Probably. Yeah. A long time ago.
Yeah.
So Daniel Radcliffe is supposed to be playing like an 11-year-old kid. Mm-hmm. So probably.
I mean, he was probably a little old. I mean, kids are always a little older, but
I don't know.
I don't really know, actually. I don't really know.
But. Yeah, so I've never seen that. And a lot of those extra scenes aren't really important, but they're kind of fun.
Yeah.
And there's one that I think is important that they cut out.
Hmm.
It's when right after Hagrid gets Harry from the isolated shack on the island, there's a scene where they're on the London Underground together riding London.
This was a deleted scene?
This was a deleted scene.
Oh, okay.
And I can understand why they deleted it because... The like audio quality is terrible because the train's going and they're trying to have a conversation. But this is the scene where Hagrid tells Harry that he wants a dragon. Like this.
Oh.
And I'm pretty sure in the original movie, he just never says that. And then later on in the original cut of the movie, after they find Norbert in Hagrid's hut, they're wandering into the castle and Hagrid's like, this makes so much sense. Hagrid's always wanted a dragon. He told me the first time I ever met him, but it's not in that movie.
Oh gosh.
So this actually added some context, which I thought was, you know, maybe important. Norbert doesn't really play a big role in this movie.
I mean, not huge, but that is just so strange from like a continuity aspect that they would leave that part in and not be like, okay, wait, we have to do something to bring up a dragon early on. Like you can't.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I just thought that was interesting. Otherwise, the scenes that they cut out, I don't think add a ton of context or really anything, but
you said that they
cool
extended
them.
Kind of the like the letters coming in. Near the beginning with the Dursleys, like she's cracking open eggs and like pulling out letters and stuff. Like they extended that, which I imagine kind of added to the effect because it's like a whole chapter in the book where it's just like they do this and the letters keep coming and they do this and the letters keep coming.
And I think in the book specifically, there's a scene where she's cracking open eggs and the letters are folded up in the eggs. And that was not in the original movie.
Mm.
And it's in the extended cut, which is cool. Yeah. So that adds a little. Just a little something extra.
Mm-hmm. It was a fun time. I have to say, I have to admit that I get it a little bit more now after watching the movie.
You feel like you get it more now after watching the movie compared to after reading the book?
Yeah, I get why it became a phenomenon. Like if I would have seen that movie when I was a kid, I think I understand why it was really captivating or really interesting to kids and why they wanted more of it. I didn't expect to have as much fun watching it as I did. Like, you know, we were talking about like some differences in the book and the movie while we were watching it, but not like to like a crazy extent.
Mm-hmm.
We pointed some out, but like obviously a book and a movie are different things. They can't make a like... paragraph for paragraph remake of a book. So I'm always appreciative of like, you know, there were some things that they changed in the movie that made more sense for a movie because it's a movie, like the Snape and Quirrell conversation that doesn't happen in the middle of the Forbidden Forest, but happens kind of like when he's in his invisibility cloak.
I think that's a much better change. The pacing in the movie works a lot better than the pacing in the book, I think, because there's a couple things. So that conversation is in the book, it's after the Quidditch match and Harry's like taking his time and he's like putting stuff back in his locker. And then he's walking to the castle and he sees Snape and Quirrell go into the forest. And so he flies over the forest to listen in. That's kind of an awkward time to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And in the movie, that conversation happens after Filch is chasing Harry away from the restricted section in the library. And it just makes way more sense to have that conversation there. And then Filch stumbles onto the teachers and then they kind of all run off looking for the student that's out of bed. I think that pacing works a lot better. And also in the movie, you pointed out they just skip spring. Like,
yeah, it's just like they're at Christmas break and then it's final exams.
Yeah, it's clearly snowing out.
Yeah,
they show like Hedwig flying over the castle. Yeah. And all of a sudden it's final exams.
Mm-hmm.
So the entire spring semester is cut out. But then like thinking back on the book, almost nothing happens in spring semester. I think the whole Norbert debacle happens.
Mm-hmm.
But in the movie, they just make that one little scene for one little day.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it works a little bit better.
I've always appreciated the different mediums. Like I said, like a book shouldn't be a movie and a cartoon is different from a live action play. Like, it's okay that things have differences. In fact, I like would rather them have differences than be exactly the same. But having just read the book for the first time, it was nice to kind of see some of the things come to life. I mean, the actors, well, the adult actors are like phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah,
they got an amazing cast. I mean, Maggie Smith is like just a dream. And
Alan Rickman's incredible.
Alan Rickman. And I said, and
they only get better too, you know,
because
Snape has kind of a minor role in this book and movie. And later on, he becomes way more important and prominent in the story.
Mm-hmm.
So you see a lot more of Alan Rickman. Maggie Smith is just amazing throughout the whole thing.
Dumbledore is really good. I know he doesn't make it through the whole thing.
Yeah. He's in the second movie, and then he passes away after the second movie.
Yeah, I did know that.
And then they switch him out, and I think the change is controversial.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. We can talk about that later.
Okay, we'll talk about that when that comes up. Yeah, but I thought it was a really fun time. I thought it was really cool. I really enjoyed watching it. Even after reading the book, I enjoyed watching it more than I thought that I would.
Good.
Yeah. And we had our butter beer, except it was regular beer.
Yeah, we were drinking regular beer that looks kind of like butter beer. But you don't even know what butter beer is yet.
I don't,
that
actually.
That has not come up in this story whatsoever. I know you've been to Harry Potter World.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people talk about it.
Did you have a butter beer when you were there?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. I think at Harry Potter World, you can get non-alcoholic and alcoholic butter beer.
Oh, okay.
Third book is when you learn what butter beer is. So you still have a little while.
One of the other things, whenever we got to the Quidditch game, was that I feel like they just kind of like skipped over the rules. I mean, I remember when we read it, we were talking about how kind of like the rules don't really matter because it's just whoever finds this knit. And they didn't even like go into the rules when Oliver Wood was talking to him.
Yeah, Oliver Wood, they do their little practice session and they just totally skip over the points. He's just like, the Quaffle goes in the hoop and then you have to catch the Snitch and that's all that matters.
Yeah.
And then he specifically says, if you catch the Snitch, we win.
Right.
So they're just like not even
acknowledging
the point system and how it doesn't make any sense.
And if the game has to, like if you have to catch the Snitch for the game to be over and whoever catches the Snitch wins, it's like, why is there even anything else going on?
During the game though, when Harry catches it, Lee Jordan says, Harry Potter's just won 150 points for their team. So they do say it.
Yeah. And we see the point ticker going up by 10.
Yeah.
So like you could deduce the rules, but it's just funny. They did like oversimplify. Actually, I have a question about Oliver Wood.
Okay.
Do you remember when like the movies were first coming out? Like, because I feel like if you were really young, he would look like an older, cool guy.
Yeah.
And it's just so funny, like being this age now and looking back and being like, oh, he looks so young. But I could see being like 11, being like, oh my gosh, like he's so cool and he has this Irish accent and he like has this cool sweater on.
when you're a little kid and you're watching that movie, you definitely see him as kind of the older, more mature, cool, like, you know, senior, you know?
The senior, or like if, you know, a young girl have like a big crush on him or something, like I could totally see that. But it's also just so funny in your 30s to look back and be like, I don't know. Like, I even do that now. Like, I remember watching Aladdin when I was a kid and being like, oh, Aladdin's, like, so dreamy. And then now I'm like, that is a child. Like, what was I thinking? Even though he's a cartoon. It's yeah. Okay. I had a lot of crushes on cartoons when I was a kid.
I think a lot of people did.
Oh, yeah. Who was your cartoon crush?
Oh, Jasmine was.
She had the hair and the bare midriff.
Yeah. Don't get me started on Jasmine. So there are a couple of things from this movie that as a kid, I remember sticking out to me.
Mm-hmm.
And they're kind of odd things. They're not like Harry Potter things. They're just like me watching the movie and having watched it several times. Some weird things that stuck out to me that kind of came back to me as I was rewatching it.
Was it that his toad is really a frog?
Well, that was one of them. I don't know if it is in all scenes, though. I think there was like one scene in particular where they showed a shot of the toad, and I was like, that's a frog.
Okay, marine biologist.
I was like, that's a frog. But in some of the other scenes, it looked more toad-like. So
okay.
I could be wrong. I might have seen it wrong.
Okay.
I don't want to go out on a limb there.
Sure, sure.
But one of them is in that training scene for Quidditch.
Mm-hmm.
There's the scene where the snitch is in Harry's hand, and then he lets go of it, and the snitch, like, flies around. And it's this really brief scene. You probably don't mm-hmm. even remember it. But they show both Oliver Wood's head and Harry's head, and they're, like, looking at the snitch while it's flying around. But I remember this. It sticks out really clear to me for some reason because, like, the snitch isn't real. Like, that's a CGI thing. And I imagine they were just like, okay, now both of you guys just like look in random directions to pretend like you're looking at the snitch, because Oliver Wood's head and Harry's head are facing completely different directions as they're trying to stare at this thing that's flying away. For some reason, that sticks out to me because like as a little kid, I was like, they're looking at the wrong way, you know?
Like they're not looking at the same thing.
Yeah.
See, yeah, I mean, I guess that probably is what they did, but in a like more professional setting, like you set actors' eye lines for things like that. Like you put something there for them to follow and then you edit it out.
Well, Oliver Wood is just like squinting in like completely the opposite direction. And I'm like, what is, every time I watch it, I'm like, what are you looking at?
That's really funny. I didn't notice that. You did point out though, when they were like trapped in the devil's, when they were trapped in the devil's snare,
mm-hmm.
when Hermione was like, you've got to relax. And then Harry's just like,
yeah, yeah. He scrunches like, his face up.
And that's his relaxed face.
Yeah. His relaxed face is the very opposite of relaxed. Looks like he looks constipated.
yeah, that was funny.
And another weird, this is completely so weird. It has nothing to do with the movie itself, but one other thing that sticks out to me is Harry's blinking. And I told you about this.
I
don't know if you caught up on it. But Daniel Radcliffe, when he was young, I don't think he does it anymore, but when he was young and he would blink, his left eye would close, but then his right eye would close like kind of after his left eye. And sometimes it wouldn't even close the whole way.
Listen, maybe that was just a character choice. Maybe he just has really good control over his eyelid muscles.
He read Harry Potter and was like, this is a character that wouldn't blink.
Exactly.
Properly.
You know how like some characters can do like the raise your one eyebrow thing? We were mm-hmm. just talking about this. Mm-hmm. Like you got to train your facial muscles. I think he was just ahead of his time, honestly.
I want to be clear. I'm not judging anyone for blinking in a weird way. Not at all. It's just something I noticed about Daniel Radcliffe.
But I also don't want to, it's one of those like glass shattering things that, yeah, like once you see it, you can't unsee it. So I don't want to ruin this for any Harry Potter fans out there.
Well, it's too late. This is what we're doing. We're ruining it. Okay, so there are a couple things that I want to ask you.
Okay.
First, I want to ask, what did you think of like Hogwarts itself? Like this is the visualization of what you were just reading.
Mm-hmm.
Did it kind of live up to your expectations for how you pictured some of these things in the book?
Yeah, I think it did. Although once again, like understanding that this came out like 20 years ago and that CGI and stuff has gotten a little better. But as far as like...
It's not
horrible.
It's not horrible. It's not horrible.
It's not like revolting. Yeah.
No, I mean, there were some like when Harry's being like tossed around on his broom, and there are like some other things that are like, that's not even a person, but that's okay. Like, that's fine. But Hogwarts, I mean, I liked how they showed the staircases moving. I feel like in the book, they just said that they moved. I don't remember them ever being on a staircase and it like actively moving. Mm-hmm. So that kind of was kind of cool and added to the mystery. I liked the night sky situation in the Great Hall. I think it was, I didn't really think about it or not think about it. I felt like it felt like a large magical space.
And what did you think of Neville?
I still just don't get it. Like, do people like Neville?
Yeah, I think he grows on you.
He grows on you? Okay.
Well, I'll just let you know that he becomes a little bit more significant in the story later on.
Uh-huh.
And he also, like, the actor, when he grew up, damn.
Oh, is he the one that got really hot?
He got super hot.
I thought that was Ron that got, like, way too hot for...
No, it was Neville. Because Neville also, like, in this movie... He's like a short little fat kid with like big buck teeth sticking out. Like he's a perfect Neville cast. But then after the movies, he got real hot.
See, I always think that awkward kids make the most attractive adults when they grow up.
I think people hold Neville in a very special place in their heart.
Okay. Well, I'll give him a chance. But yeah, no, the movie didn't swing me one way or the other.
He really doesn't do much in this movie. In fact, he does less in the movie than he does in the book.
I agree, because he's not even in... They don't do that whole weird thing we couldn't figure out why they did. Like, Ron doesn't go to the hospital with the dragon bite.
Yeah.
And then so Neville's not in the Forbidden Forest for the unicorn blood. Like, mm-hmm. They just are like, that has no purpose. So, yeah, we spend even less time with him. I thought that the other... kind of like side Gryffindor character. Is it Seamus?
Seamus Finnegan, yeah.
Yeah. I didn't really remember him from the book at all, but he was kind of funny in the movie that he like kept blowing stuff up.
Yeah.
He was like, my eyebrows grew back.
He's like the comedic relief because he blows everything up. Yeah, he plays a bigger role in the movie than he does in the book.
Yeah, it was kind of funny. I was like, I don't remember this kid at all. Oh, I do want to say something that's kind of like, I guess maybe an overall prediction, but... something I noticed. I picked up on it a little bit in the book, but I think a little bit more in the movie. I think Ron and Hermione are gonna get it on.
Get it on?
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah.
You also made a prediction that Malfoy is going to be a seeker.
Yeah, I think they're gonna have to have Malfoy being a seeker and Harry being a seeker, so they're like head-to-head for the seeker. But yeah, Ron and Hermione have this like... this adolescent I hate you energy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm really annoyed at you and I hate you, that I feel like as they grow up and as they then go through puberty, I don't know if it's going to do like a whole love triangle thing with Harry. I don't, but maybe. But I feel like Ron and Hermione kind of have the more like chemistry right now.
Yeah. Coming from the film industry, mm-hmm. for those of you that haven't listened to our first episode, Becky... as a costumer in the film industry, what are your thoughts on the costumes and the continuity and everything else that you normally work on? Kind of, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think my philosophy is like a good costume should never be noticed. And so I think the fact that I wasn't really like noticing a lot of what was going on costume wise is probably good. Like, it just should be telling the story, like whether it's magical or whether it's not. I think the costumes definitely told the story. I mean they talked a lot about what they wore in the book, so they had good like source material to go from. They never wore their bathrobes out though. Remember how when we got to that bathrobe section in the book, I was like, is this a thing? And you were like, yeah, I think they wear them in the movie. They never did that.
You're totally right. There are no bathrobes.
Well, they don't even
right.
do that scene. They don't do the midnight duel scene.
I thought they wore their bathrobes out when they were leaving to go into the hatch, but...
Oh, no, but they were just in, you called them civvies. I was like, they're just in their regular clothes.
Yeah. You're right. No bathrobes.
No bathrobes.
But they did wear Quidditch robes.
They did wear Quidditch robes, which we talked about, which I feel like would just get in the way. You gotta, like, straddle a broomstick and fly all around, like... I feel like that could be a recipe for disaster, but yeah, that was nice. I feel like with this movie, as with kind of like other shows and with some like movie franchises, the first movie or the first season of a show or something doesn't always have the best budget, right? Because they don't know how mm-hmm. well it will do. So I think that while things were done pretty well, I think that once they get a higher budget, things will be like higher quality. And I think they'll be even like more fantastic or more magical, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, we're just going to have to wait and see. Who knows?
Who knows? But yeah.
That was weird that we just
That was really weird.
So we asked you guys to send in some of your favorite Harry Potter memories. Share those with us so we could hopefully help convince Becky that Harry Potter is really a series worth loving. And if she hears some of your stories, you know, maybe she'll flip over to that side eventually. We got a couple of stories sent in from you guys, and we're just going to read through them now.
Yeah, thanks for sending them, those of you who did. We read some really nice and thoughtful things, and
we don't have time to share all of them because let me tell you, hundreds.
The letters bursting through the doors, but in our DMs.
So we're only gonna share a couple. But yeah, huge thank you to everyone that sent them in, and enjoy. Okay, this first memory is from Taylor. From a proud Hufflepuff, one thing I distinctly remember in the small hillbilly Christian town in southern Indiana I grew up in is the town sponsored a haunted house for Halloween, but ghosts and vampires were deemed too scary and satanic, Becky can relate. So the theme was Harry Potter. I remember they set up TVs to look like picture frames on the walls, self-cleaning pans in the kitchens, candles that would automatically light when you walked into a room, and a real owl. I was just mesmerized by the magic of it. Very Mythbuster vibes. So much so that throughout middle school and high school, I would volunteer at the haunted house so I could get a behind-the-scenes look at how it all happened. The culmination was that when the last book came out, we set up parts of the gizmos and gadgets in the local bookstore and gave out wands to kids, literally sticks from our backyards that we put feathers inside and sanded to look real. One of my core memories is handing a stick to a kid. Him walking out of the store, looking around to make sure nobody was watching, and giving his wand a swish and flick to see if anything happened. I laughed and thought that this is the beauty of Harry Potter as a young kid. It's close enough to real life that it might actually be real, and there may be wizards and witches among us, and we may never know for sure. Thanks, aww, Taylor.
Taylor, thank you so much. That was such a sweet story of that little moment of the kid hoping no one's looking and just like trying it out just in case. I love that because one is just like really genuine and sweet, but also I had never really thought about the story of Harry Potter being like just believable enough, especially if you're like still young, just believable enough that you think maybe there are magic people around and we just don't know. I had never thought about that. So thank you for framing it in that way. I am going to read this message from Natalia. She says, I've read the books as I was growing up and I've always enjoyed and related to Harry's character so much because we both had grown around not so great parental figures. I sought inspiration in Harry for how to deal with adversities and having to grow up way too quickly. After the books ended, I sort of moved on with my life, but went back to them once in a while when my mental health began dipping a bit. Once I became an adult, I've discovered the world of HP fan fiction, the good, the bad, and the weird. And through reading the works of fellow fans and writing my own theories, I became invested in the lore of it all. Despite the world building of J.K. Rowling being quite clunky sometimes, or perhaps specifically because of that, there's a lot of space to speculate. Wand lore, the nature of magic, the connections and motivations between the characters, and also the morality of magical beings. I'm super excited to share some of my headcanons and theories as your podcast moves along, avoiding spoilers, of course, and I hope you get a well-deserved break and come back for a second book fully energized and ready to demuggle Becky further. P.S. Your dog is very cute. Natalia, thank you so much for that message. That really warmed my heart. That was really nice. I love that Harry Potter has been kind of like a touchstone for you, not just from when you were a kid, but helped you get through that. And then you've kind of come back to it as an adult. I think there's something so great about revisiting things that we loved when we were kids, because it kind of just brings us back to like a more joyous version of ourselves. And, you know, taking care of mental health is extremely important. And if this has kind of provided you an outlet or a way to kind of just tap into that every once in a while, I think that is amazing. And this makes me love the series so much more than I even thought I would when we started doing this, that people can feel this way about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's, you know, revisiting Harry Potter, a lot of people do it. I do it certainly because it is familiar, it's comfortable, and it's magical, you mm-hmm. know? And same thing for me, I think, you know, it helps my mental health when I go back and I reread a series that I really, really enjoy.
Yeah.
I also think Harry Potter fan fiction is a whole other world.
Oh, is it?
You're not ready for
Should
that.
Should we do yet. A bonus episode, like maybe in a couple books about fan fiction?
She mentioned like the good, the bad, and the weird.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, she is spot on with that. There's good, there's bad, and there is weird.
Okay, I would like to do a bonus episode sometime about.
Okay.
Some fan fiction.
Maybe like a couple seasons down the road, we'll take a break and we'll read a fan. Maybe we'll ask for suggestions for a good fanfic and we'll read it.
I think that would be hilarious. Oh, I've never actually written? I've never actually read a fan fiction of anything. I don't think I really have any like.
Yeah. Well, when you're a big Harry Potter fan, you definitely dabble. I've dabbled in some Harry Potter fan fiction. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you, everyone, for sending in your memories and sharing this experience with us. We've had such an amazing time going through this book. I know Becky's not super fully sold on it yet, but we're still trying.
I'm going to need a little more convincing.
We're still trying. So we're going to take a little break, but we'll be back eventually for season two. Follow us on Twitter at Muggles Guide. Follow us on Instagram at Muggles Guide Podcast. I've been throwing some stuff off on YouTube that's slower because I don't have as much time for that. But just thank you so much for spending your time with us. We've really enjoyed doing this, and we hope to see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.